Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-hosts Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. I am your co-host, Scott Fullerton, along here with the awesome and always fantastic Kevin Hogan. It is Thursday, April 7th, the first full week of spring, April. It doesn't feel like spring, though, does it, Kevin?
No, I'm still looking at snow, and a lot of it, actually, for this time of year.
It's crazy being in the Northeast here. You're even farther Northeast. You got quite a bit, right?
Yeah, it was just a freak storm, you know, and it just tied everything up. And, when you look outside and you see them send the ABC meteorologist to the exit off your highway for that evening's news, you know you got it bad. But we just had a freak snowstorm. And, you know, I'm glad most people got home okay. But lately we've been having trees collapse. The cold snap came on really, really fast down from Canada. And hopefully we're going to have just as quick a warm-up.
Hope so. I mean, it's just crazy. I remember last on Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's 77 degrees and we're driving to the casino last week.
Yeah.
And this Sunday,
we
didn't have as much as you, but we had about an inch and a half of snow. And it's like, it's been a high of 26 yesterday, then it went up to 56 today. So you get like a 30-degree swing in one day. It's just wacky.
Yeah, I got a chihuahua that just keeps scratching his head waiting for it to all end. And he's taking it personally, so... Yeah, come on, sunshine. We got baseball to play, so come on, sunshine.
There you go. We had opening day just the other day, and we got a great guest coming on in just a little bit. We have the fantastic Jen Benardi today and her alter ego, Tiggy Uplin. She'll be on in just a couple minutes. That's going to be so much fun to talk about her. But let's talk a little bit about the weekend news here. We had, of course, another one of those religious freedom bills passed yesterday. The governor in Mississippi was able to, that's Governor Phil Bryant, passed their religious bill, HB 1523. It goes even farther, believe it or not, than the North Carolina bill. Not only does it outlaw all the discriminations for the rest of the, you can't be a municipality within the state of Mississippi and have your own discrimination bill. It overrides those, but it even puts more protections in for businesses to refuse service to anyone in our LGBT family. So, crazy stuff, and I know you were looking into this a little bit as well, right, Kev?
Well, yeah, you know, it's obviously, this is, everything is so politicized right now. You know, we know that, we understand it, we're bombarded by it. And one of the things that I don't want anybody to think of is, you know, don't let yourself get worn down by this. Don't let yourself give up. But as we are a rainbow community, when we stand together on issues, lately there has been this amazing, I would say, not just lately, but I've been noticing it more maybe. I'm more in tune because of the work I do. But corporations and others are able to continue to bring this conversation back in new and interesting ways, you know, to prove that whatever this intolerance, religious intolerance, these underhanded bills that come along like this are, to show our protest to it has to be hit in the pocketbook or it has to be hit politically. Right. I mean, this is one of the things that I think wasn't it pretty much, I'm not the only one following this. I know, wasn't it pretty well published that there were some pretty big corporations that were going to pull out of North Carolina? What were they?
Well, actually, that was actually in Georgia where they were threatened to pull out before Governor Deal actually vetoed their law. In North Carolina, they had, it started, I think, with 80 companies that signed a petition for them to overturn the law. It's now up to 120 companies.
Right.
Just yesterday, PayPal pulled out of a new $2 million expansion and 400 jobs.
That's the newest one. That's right. Now, here's the newest thing that I heard. Now, folks can check this out. Just go to the internet and check it out. But both New York and Vermont have now banned non-essential state-funded travel to Mississippi once Mississippi governor signed that bill into law. Okay? So Governor Cuomo announced the ban on Tuesday, the same day it was signed. So these are states now taking this fight. And what I want our listeners to think about is wherever you are, if your state and your governor and your organization, your rainbow community has a voice, speak up.
Right.
This is how – and now guess what? If New York is speaking up about that, doesn't that state have a little primary coming up?
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Aren't there groups right now – basically having everyone come in, you know, I'm not saying fall at their feet, but wanting to be heard because they want to know, how do we reach you?
Right.
So this idea of reaching back and saying this is one way, and, you know, again, so New York and Vermont clearly are huge, huge politicized states. And we know the people that are important there and what's going on there. But there are many other states in this wonderful country that want to have, you know, state-run government that isn't run like the state of Mississippi. And that's not against everything in Mississippi, but this one law, let's face it, is absolutely horrendous. It's disgusting. And there are ways to show, as I'm realizing now every day, through corporations, through, you know, your own local government, to make an impact. So make sure your voice is heard. And I'm going to do more research. I've already reached out to some of my own through, like, bisexual leaders to find out what we can do to make sure. I mean, I'm in Massachusetts. I want to know, you know, what our governor, who is coming up, he's going to be attending, actually, I think it's April 13th, the state governor of Massachusetts is going to be attending. Governor Baker is the keynote speaker at the Boston Spirit event, which is an LGBT networking event.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So if he's going to be the keynote speaker, I'd like to see before that what he can do to make sure that non-essential travel from Massachusetts is also banned to Mississippi. If New York and Vermont can do it, why can't Massachusetts? So I'm going to be asking that as a Massachusetts resident, and I hope it would be great to have people from other states that are listening do the same, you know, and give a high five to Healing Stigma Radio for hearing about it and think about it, because that's what we're out to do in a positive way. Make sure your vote, your opinion, and our community as a unified voice is heard, both, you know, in businesses, in states, as a community, and beyond.
Exactly. And it's just the thing that I don't think the realize is all of these legislators, they're not being hurt by this bill. It doesn't hurt them whatsoever, but it's hurting their constituencies and their state. One of the things that's happening in North Carolina, one of the persons, Stephen Schwartz, I believe it's Stephen Schwartz, who's the composer, he's done created fantastic shows, the Godspell, Pippin, Wicked, people might have heard of that. He has banned use of all of his productions in the state of North Carolina. So no high school, no college, no community theater now are going to have rights. And he's asking fellow people in his theater community as well in Broadway to do the same, which is fantastic as a show of force to the governors. But I don't, it's going to hurt the people there. And so it's really affecting a lot of people now. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, in the general populace that, obviously, I mean, I saw a great sign, and it just really summed up. Somebody said, and I'm paraphrasing this, I'm not reading it, but I did see it. It was like, you know, don't use your hate under the guise of my religion.
Right.
You know, don't put your hate under the guise of my religion. And it said LGBT ally and Christian or something like that. You know, so I mean, here's the other thing is there's a whole bunch of horrible reasons being used and misused in this situation, and it's terrible because, as you said, there are good, you know, faithful people who are allies of the LGBT community that are being hurt by this. There's everyone in the state being hurt by it, and obviously these other allies by cultural travel bans and all the rest. It really does need to happen quickly and have this change, because what you don't want to do is create this wall that's permanently there. I've had it with this discussion of walls. I mean, every time I turn it on, I hear that. You know, I'm not going to even mention his name, talking about walls.
No, exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
I can say this to our listeners. I'm old enough that I actually had the chance to compete against East Germany. All right?
Wow.
I had the chance to compete against East Germany. So I remember when that happened, and I remembered the change in athletes and what happened in so many different sports and how powerful that was. So just on a different note, on a very powerful note, I've had it with walls.
Well, the good thing is we're going to have some positivity on the show today. I'm so excited. We got some great news coming out. I'm just excited. Greg Louganis got his face on a Wheaties box finally after 20 years. That's kind
of
fun.
See, it's the that's what I'm saying. There's things that need to be completed on so many levels, and I think, you know, there's an icon of mine, a hero of mine. Even though I was a rower before I was a rower, I was a swimmer. So my father always said you graduated and got to sit up above the water. But he was a hero of mine for so many different reasons. You know,
right.
And I just think that's great. And we know what the Wheaties, you know, as an American kid, we know what the Wheaties box means. And to see that is great. It really is good
well,
to Greg.
Awesome.
I'd love to have him on the show.
Exactly. And then not even did him. He also did there's three overlooked athletes from what they thought. It was the hurdler, Edwin Moses, and the swimmer, like you said, Janet Evans.
Yeah.
So all three of them
are going
to get their own individual Wheaties boxes between, I think, May and summer. So that's kind of
cool.
Really I like
great.
That.
Yeah, that's really cool. It is. It really is.
Let's go ahead and get
nice.
Set up. I think we have our good friend Jennifer calling in right now. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. You know I'm a Broadway boy, right? I love being a little Broadway, right?
Me too. I'm with you on that. I'm your brother.
I'm telling you. Well, they had on Sunday night, they had the annual Miscast show. It benefits the MCC Theater. Marisa Tomei was the honor there. And
she's
all
wonderful.
The Broadway performers, they take on roles that are not meant for them. It's usually guys plays girls' roles or girls plays, and they kind of have a lot of fun with it. So
it's like the 12th night of Broadway. That's brilliant.
Exactly. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And in honor of you, in honor of Jennifer, we're going to play a song from two of my favorite Broadway boys. One of them is Aaron Tveit. He did so many great things. Catch Me If You Can, where he played the Leo DiCaprio role. He did Rent. He did so many things there. We also have
Love Rent. Love Rent.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And then we have Gavin McCreel, who is just another fantastic performer. They did the song from Rent last night, Take Me or Leave Me, which was done originally by Joanne and Maureen, the bisexual, and Joanne, her girlfriend, Take Me or Leave Me, which I absolutely love this song. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to go ahead and let you guys listen to this fantastic performance last night from Aaron and from Gavin, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments with Jennifer Benardis. All right, everyone hold on. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
The line is CyberArts and its corporate sponsors, Gray Communications, wish to mitigate the Christmas Eve riot. Now, what is so difficult about that?
It just doesn't roll off my tongue properly. I like my version better.
Yeah, you dressed as a groundhog to protest the groundbreaking.
Yeah. It's a metaphor.
It is less than brilliant. Okay, you know what? That's it, Miss Ivy League. Ever since New Year's, I haven't said boo. I let you direct. I didn't pierce my nipples because it grossed you out. We didn't stay and dance at the Click Club that night because you wanted to go home. You were flirting with the woman in rubber. Is that what this is about? There will always be a woman in rubber flirting with me. Give me a break. Every single day, I walk down the street. I hear people say, baby, so sweet. Ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember that I'm your baby. Take me for what I am. Who I was meant to be. Baby, leave me. That's what I said. Take me, baby, or leave me. A tiger in a cage can never see the sun. This diva needs her stage, baby. Let's have fun. You are the one I choose. Folks will kill to fill your shoes. You love the limelight too now, baby. So be mine and don't waste my time crying. Baby, leave me. There's no way. kiss, Pookie. It won't work. I look before I leave. I love margins and discipline. I make lists in my sleep. Baby, what's my sin? Never quit. I follow through. I ain't mess, but I love you. What to do with my impromptu? Baby, don't be wise, 'cause this girl satisfies. You got a prize, don't compromise. You're one lucky baby. Oh, take me for what I am.
I'm
I was meant to be.
I'm
not your
over-attentive.
And if you give a damn,
take
me, baby.
And ain't no attentive.
That's it. When it breaks my back, I quit. Unless you take it back. Women, what is it about them? I can't live with them or without them.
And that was Aaron Tveit and Gavin Creel from Sunday's Miscast benefiting MCC Theater. So excited to listen to Broadway whenever I can. But Kevin and I are even more excited to have our first guest today. She's an advocate for the bisexual community and has used her talents in writing and comedy to create the fantastic world of Tiggy Upland. With signature pink hair and brass-knuckled head-on comedy, Tiggy speaks out for the bisexual community. Whether through her Ask Tiggy advice column she ran for 5 years, her Tumblr blog, You Might Be a Bisexual, .. or her current webcomic series of miniatures, Upland, Tiggy is a force of nature. Kevin and I are excited to get behind the scenes with the master of this universe and maybe even welcome a visit later from Tiggy herself. Please welcome to the show, Jennifer Benardi. Jennifer, how are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I am fantastic. I'm psyched to be on the show. This is great.
Yay, well, Jen. It's Kev. Welcome. Welcome. I'm so happy you made it. Hi.
Oh, this is terrific.
We are so excited to have you on. You are just a phenomenal person, and Tiggy cracks me up, I got to tell you. Let's start, though.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad
to
hear
behind
that.
Thank you. Let's go with the woman behind the woman here, though, Jen. Let's start off. Give us whatever first guest time on the show. We like to find out a little bit about you. Give us from the beginning. Where did you grow up? What kind of brought out your passion to advocate for the bisexual community? And did you always have a penchant for writing and comedy? Or give us the early years.
Sure. Okay. So I tell people I live in Boston. Technically, I live in Somerville, which is just outside of Boston. It's practically the same thing. I grew up in Danvers, which, you know, anybody across the country, perhaps you heard about Salem Village. Well, they killed a bunch of people a while back, and they felt kind of bad about it. You know, it was one of those things. I mean, you know, this is basically where I grew up. It was one of those things where, you know, you're out of control because there was no mall back then, and there was nothing to do, and then you murdered a bunch of people, and then after you're a little bit embarrassed. So they changed the name of the town to Danvers. And that's where I grew up. Yeah, no, it's not anything to be proud of. Although I like to tell everyone that I grew up in Danvers. It was Salem Village. We changed our name because we have a good sense to be a little embarrassed. And then Salem the city, I'll tell you what, nobody in Salem ever killed anybody, okay? But they've got all these witch magnets and witch postcards to make all this money off it. It's crap.
Yeah.
It's crap. That's
okay. Yeah.
I can't live there. I'm surrounded by these lies. Don't say you murdered someone if you didn't, okay? That's what I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to tell you this today. Don't. That's my first lesson for you today.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, I needed you holding my hand when I first saw the Blair Witch Project. That's what I need. That's when I needed you to hold my hand. Oh, my God.
Honey, that ain't
I remember when
I'll
I first
you,
saw
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what else. I don't judge those people in old school Danvers either because I lived there for 17 years. And even with the mall, I was about ready to call somebody out as a witch. I'll tell you. I don't understand it anymore. I don't blame those people. I don't.
See? It's a rich history we have here. Gotta love New England. Gotta love
right?
it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How did I get involved advocating for the bi community? I can't remember what they called it. It wasn't co-president. It was like co-coordinator of Tufts TLGBC, and that's Tufts University. It used to, I don't know what they call it now. It was a queer group. We used to call it TLGBC, Tufts Lesbian Gay Bisexual Collective. And then
this is how
old I am. Around my junior year, we were like, yo, we gotta put trans in the name. Like, that's how old I am. We were like, you know, there's transgender people are part of our community.
Yeah.
We gotta put
yeah.
that in the name. And so we changed it from TLGBC, where the T was tough, to Tough TLGBC, where the T was trans. And so I ran that with my other co-president or whatever we were. His name is Carl Shortino. He was a sophomore when I was a senior. He was a Mass state rep for a decade. And then
awesome.
Not that just a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe stopped doing that and became the CEO of AIDS Action in Massachusetts. I always love to brag
Brilliant.
On Carl. He's a good guy. I'll tell you, Carl loved red tape even then. All I had to do was, you know, bring chips and Coke and, you know, laugh it up with people. Carl was
yeah.
in the background, like, signing some form for student activities. God bless that guy.
That
was my start.
Hilarious.
That was I started going to TLGBC meetings because I really needed support at that time. I was coming out to myself, to other people. But, you know, you guys know how it is. By the time you're you know, with some group that's been helping you or some sort of community group, by the time you're in for like 2 or 3 years and they need somebody new to run it, they're like, it's you. Like, everything's a big guilt trip. So, yeah, so I ended up, you know, me and Carl were like, okay, well, our number's up. We gotta do this thing. And so that's basically what started it.
I got to tell you that's the exact cool. same thing. I was the chairman of our local Pride Center here in Northeast Ohio, and we would do elections every year to vote who didn't have to do it that year. They're always getting someone to go through it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's an old story, let me tell you. So I'll tell you, and here's the other thing. So I graduated from Tufts, which is also just outside of Boston, not that far from my hometown. And then I left Massachusetts for 8 years. I did 4 in San Francisco, 4 in D.C., total blast in both places. And then I came back a decade ago. I came back to Boston. And when I came here, I kept seeing this guy everywhere I went. His name, I found out later, was Luigi. And I would see, I started going to the UU church here, the Unitarian Universalist Church, and this guy was there, Luigi. They introduced him as a new member. And then I went to some meeting to represent AIDS Action because I was working there, and this dude Luigi was there because I guess he worked for what was known as the AIDS Bureau as part of the Massachusetts Department of Health at the time. And I kept walking by this guy, and I think I figured out his name through all these things, and we just sort of happened to run in the same circles. And
right.
at one point, I'm in Boston at my office, and I go down to the lobby, and this dude Luigi is walking the other way. I'm getting off the elevator; he's getting on the elevator. And at the same point, we both stop in our tracks, turn around to each other, that we had never met. Officially, both stopped, turned around, looked at each other, and both sort of stumbled over ourselves, saying at the same time, "Hey, listen, I just see you everywhere. Let's just be friends. This is irritating." But it was getting annoying, and that's how it was like this is irritating. Let's just be friends. I don't know if we have anything in common, but we just need to know each other somehow. And it was not that long after, like a week later, he's like, "Oh, you're bisexual too?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course. All the cool kids are." And he's like, "Yeah, I am too. I'm an activist." He said, I'm on the Bisexual Resource Center board, and we're always looking for new people." I was like, "I'm in." So that's what started my bi activism here in Boston.
Nice. That's a cool story. I love that.
Yay.
That's a weird thing.
It's a cool thing. It's a really cool thing. It is.
Yeah, and that story about Luigi is true. I don't know if he remembers it like that, but it was like that. We sort of were accidentally sort of stalking each other, and finally we were like, this is crazy. Let's just be friends.
Well, other listeners can tell we're having a very fun show today because you are just a hilarious person. Talk about that. Were you always kind of the class clown, or at least having the fun? And where did the writing come into and the characterizations and everything come into?
That's like a huge compliment to me that you think I'm funny. I tell people I'm funny all the time. It's rare that they agree with me. That's why I have to say it all the time, because you gotta play the odds. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think I was like a super nerd throughout school, but I have like clearly a desperate need for attention. I'm sure it's unhealthy, but I need attention. I try to get people to laugh. Both sides of my family have incredibly funny people. I love to tell stories. Love to tell stories. And you never let the facts get in the way of a good story. That's my second lesson tonight.
Hey, I got to interrupt you here, though. And I got to explain something to our listeners that might not know this, because Jen and I have a couple of, you know, crossovers here that I can fill in that even I don't know if I may have said this. I don't even know if you're aware of this, but I can say this. I coached at Tufts for a good chunk of time. I helped a good
Did
friend
you?
Of mine there.
You
yeah,
never
I coached
told
rowing.
Me that.
Yeah, I coached the freshman rowing program. Yeah, right after I got done with my own rowing and my own undergraduate, and I was actually pedaling across town as all rich graduate students do. I was doing my master's in English at Boston College, and I was coaching, and then I really began teaching while I was also coaching the freshman at Tufts. I didn't teach at Tufts. I began teaching at high school at the same time. But anyway, the thing I wanted to mention to people is this, and this is a great compliment again. I hope our listeners get it. This is from my heart more than my head. But when I coached at Tufts, the thing I still remember is the head coach, a dear friend of mine, turning to me and saying, "Kevin," and I believe Gary is still there, Gary Caldwell, one of the greatest folks in the world of rowing I ever met, and still a dear friend. But he turned to me and says, "Kevin, you got to stop repeating yourself. These kids are smart." And what he's saying is, and it was true, the Tufts students were some of the smartest students I ever, and I was able to coach and progress so quickly in a way that I wasn't, you know, used to in some ways, because these kids were there to learn. You know what I'm saying, Scott? And so the other thing is, when you're asked to run an organization like you did, and when I see the writing, and I've known Jen for years as a friend and seen what she's done, to stand out at Tufts, you can't be just a little wallflower, and you can't just be, you know, a little good at what you do, because it really was a pleasure. It was an honor for me to be there. But on top of it, it was such an impression for me that, you know, it truly was some of the smartest students I ever had the honor of coaching and working with was at Tufts University. And when someone was funny or stood out there or had a cause and wanted to get people's attention, on Tufts campus you had to be really sharp to get that attention. It wasn't the fact that people weren't interested, but people had a lot of things on their plate there. I never met such a busy group of innovative and conscious and aware of what was going on in current events. It was great to be there when I was. So hats off to you, lady.
Oh, that's a great compliment. And actually, this is sort of a follow-up answer then to, Scott, you were asking me if, you know, how I was growing up. And I mean, I considered myself more of a super nerd than anything. Like, you know, I tried to be funny, but I was still like, trying to be a nerd was my thing. But let me tell you about Tufts. Tufts has changed a lot, but at least when I went there, Tufts had a reputation of being what they called the Ivy League dumping ground. Now, a lot of people have a major chip on their shoulder. People go there. They got a major chip on their shoulder about that. You always meet the kid there who's like, "Oh, yeah, I turned down Harvard to go here." It's like, "No, you didn't, you stupid idiot." But, you know, like, you know, there's always, like, there's so many people who are like, "Yeah, I could have gone to Brown." It's like, "No, because you'd be there right now if you could, you big dummy." You know, but the thing about Tufts being an Ivy League dumping ground, it was the perfect school for me. Because to me, that's a huge compliment. Now, I didn't even realize I've been doing this all my life until recently, but I like to surround myself with really smart people. I could show you, like, 10 of my closest friends, and they're so smart. They're amazing, amazing people, and also very compassionate and just incredible people. And so I had a fair number of friends who went Ivy, and those are the kids that I used to say, those kids woke up smart. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't work hard, because they did, but those kids woke up friggin' brilliant, right? I would say about myself, that's not really true of me. I would say I'm what you call a smart cookie. She's a smart cookie, you know? I was a smart cookie, but I had to work. I had to work. And Tufts, again, at least at the time, it grew in and turned out the kind of young people who didn't know how to half-ass anything, because we'd worked so hard to be considered smart cookies. So that's kind of who we were. We weren't the Ivy League, which were, you know, they're just the most incredible students. But we are the kids who were like, we're not going to half-ass anything because we couldn't. That's not who we are. That's like the opposite of who we are. We're smart cookies, but we gotta you know, put a lot of elbow grease into it and bring it to the next level.
Yeah.
That's why I have Kevin here. Kevin is our brains of the operation. I'm a good looker-upper. I can find anything on the internet that's out there, and two things from Sunday, but we use Kevin's brain here to get us through the tough spot. So I hear you on that one.
Googling is a great skill. It's very helpful.
I am the Google
master. I just don't forget things. Because when I, you know, here's dating myself. You're talking about the things that, you know, were said about Tufts. Do you realize when I was pedaling across town, everybody in BC was saying they knew Doug Flutie? Now, that's dating myself. And now he's on this, what is it, Dancing with the Stargazers or whatever it is. Anyway, but I just think it's incredible the way you described it, because for me, it even makes more sense, because I literally remember those differences in the different schools, and they have these kind of, you know, here's one, you know, the mascot for Tufts. Tell our listeners that.
I'm happy to tell you about Jumbo the Elephant.
And it's a history behind it. It's a real story behind it, Scott.
Elephant is a mascot?
No,
oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's not just an elephant. Our mascot is Jumbo the Elephant. That specific elephant. Now, you've got other schools like Brandeis that was named for a guy, Louis Brandeis, a judge, and he is what's that famous quote that Louis Brandeis said? It's some beautiful, like, philosophical, something about democracy. It's so amazing, I don't even know what it is. Something gorgeous. What did our guy say, who is the big Tufts bank roller? Yes, P.T. Barnum. There's a sucker born every minute. Okay, that's what our school was based on. People don't know that P.T. Barnum bank roller.
Right.
That's why Jumbo the Elephant is our mascot. Here's something I want to tell you, okay? My uncle's going to kill me. I'll just make sure he doesn't listen to this podcast. Now, my uncle went to Tufts 20 years before I did, right? My uncle's a big deal. I'm just not just talking about any guy. My uncle was the CEO of Bristol-Myers Squibb maybe 15 years ago. He's a big deal. He's going to kill me if he ever finds this podcast. I don't care. So, in fact, my uncle is now, and has been for a couple of years now, the president of the Board of Trustees at Tufts. So he's a big deal. So here's where I drop a dime on him, right, because I know what he did there. So he's there, and I don't remember what year it was, probably 1976 or something, right? And he's a freshman. No, so maybe it's 74. He's a freshman. My uncle, who grew up to be this big deal guy, he's this scrawny freshman, and he's trying to do his laundry, probably for the first time ever. And he lost his soap, his laundry soap. So he steals somebody else's soap in the laundry room of his dorm, because they're not there and they had left it there. Now, I should mention, we're Catholic. I'm Catholic on both sides of my family. So immediately, this is the worst thing Peter's ever done. Like, he stole soap. It's the worst thing he's ever done. So he feels so bad about it. So he had to leave a laundromat and go across campus for some reason. And he took this kid's empty soap box with him because he's going to bury it. And if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this and you're not Catholic or Jewish, you're not going to get this. So just stop listening for the next couple. You're like, why would anyone go, what the heck? No, you don't get it, okay? For the rest of you. So, of course, he's going to bury this soapbox because he feels terrible. It's like, Edgar Allan Poe's beating heart beneath the floorboards or some goddamn thing.
Beneath the floorboards. Yeah.
Right? So he's running across campus. Now, on campus at the time was Jumbo the Elephant, because Jumbo had been hit by a train in Africa So they sent that elephant back to the United States to be the subject of the largest taxidermy job ever done. And so Jumbo himself was at Tufts at the time, stopped standing there, and for good luck, when you go to your exams at Tufts, in the 70s, you drop some pennies in his trunk, right? So Peter's running across the quad, and he leaves this empty box of soap, you know, with his fingerprints on it. He's thinking in his head. He doesn't know. He's just going to leave it there by Jumbo's foot. Damn if Jumbo doesn't burn down that night.
No!
Damn if Jumbo doesn't burn down!
I was going to say, I thought it burned, and I was going to say that.
It
I really was, yeah.
Damn it, it burned down! No one ever knew why. It was some sort of pyromania problem. The only thing left was a tusk and the tail and a hunk of trunk. Broken hearts across the campus. And Peter was sure that the cops would find that soapbox and fingerprint it and think that he had re-murdered Jumbo. Also, they know that he stole
it. Catholic Lightning.
Anyway.
It was Catholic Lightning.
That is hilarious.
Script.
I love that story.
He's like a real person. He's like an important guy. He's going to freaking kill me if he hears this. But so nobody
tell him. No, we're going to have him on the radio. We're going to have him on here because this is all about healing stigma. You didn't create stigma. This is about moving past it. This is about being able to bring all of that out and not feel like guilt is controlling one's life. We're always going to put a positive spin on it.
We need a lot
right?
more of my family on the show than a lot of all of those people.
All right, you're going to manage that. You're going to manage that.
I can try it once again. Catholic, so there's like dozens and dozens, but they all need it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into the fantastic world that is Tiggy Upland. Now, how did you first meet Tiggy? Did she come to you, or did you kind of seek her out in your comments?
So here's what happened. So I'm on the board of the Bisexual Resource Center, and it's the typical thing where you're volunteering. I mean, I consider board work kind of higher-level volunteering. It's really exciting, and you see pretty quickly, like, you need them, but they need you too, and they're just like, listen, please don't quit. You can do whatever you want, but please don't quit. So at some point, I say to Ellen Rutstrom, who was at the time the president, I said, hey, listen, I think I had been on the board for a couple of years at that point. I said, hey, listen, I want to do an advice column. And the reason I wanted to do one is because I have been reading advice columns for, 25 years. And I read them every single day. I read, like, the old school ones, like Dear Abby. I read the ones that cycle in and out different columnists, like Dear Prudence. I read it when it was Ann Landers' daughter. I read it when it was what's her name? Emily Yaffe. I'm reading it now with Mallory. I even the columns where I think the advice is terrible, I will hate read it regularly. So I disagree with it. Yeah. So I'm waiting for advice columns, and I'm thinking, well, I got to be pretty good at it by this point. I thought maybe I could be good at it. And the other thing was the website, the Bisexual Resource website, had been attacked by a virus or some, like, had been intentionally attacked, and it was like, you know, it was ruined. You two guys know what I'm talking about because you are entrepreneurs in your own right. You bring, you know, you do stuff from soup to nuts, and you know, like, if your site gets hacked, you know, you're just a community group of people. You're like, what are we going to do now? So it was like, it took a good 2 years before we finally got the site up and running again, which is a shame because the Bisexual Resource Center provides resources, and we needed that site. So we were finally going to get it up on its legs again. And I said, listen, Ellen, I think maybe, the site's always been kind of a static thing, but maybe if I have an advice column that I do regularly, that will encourage people to visit more because they know there'll be content on a regular basis, and maybe we can drive more people to the site. And she's like, sure, whatever you want to do. That's what started the column. I guess I decided I needed a pen name. And the pen name I chose was Tiggy Upland because that is my quote-unquote stripper name. And this is no shade toward people in the sex industry. People in the sex industry are awesome. No stigma toward them. the kids say your stripper name, although sometimes it's more of a drag name, but your stripper name is the name of the pet you grew up with plus the name of the street you grew up on. In high school, I had a hamster named Antigone, and I called her Tiggy, and I grew up on Upland Road. Now, you guys, now that I've told you this, I need you guys to tell me what your quote-unquote stripper names would be.
Oh my goodness. I don't.
You can Google me. Mine's been pretty much broadcast to the world.
not your real stripper name. Your quote-unquote, the name of your first pet plus the name of the street you grew up on.
I'll have to get back to our listeners on that.
Yeah,
I can remember what it looks like.
We only had one pet. We weren't allowed to have pets. We had a husky dog, a big husky Malamute that are like wolves that knocked my two brothers down. So we had him for like 6 days, and we had to get rid of him. And I don't remember the dumb dog's name. I know it was on First Street, so my last name is First. But that's all I can help you out with there.
Here's one for you. My memory, my first time I met Mike, I can remember, not maybe met, I'm sure he was at christenings because I'm a recovering Catholic as well, but my first memories of my grandfather is walking up as he chopped the head off of a chicken because he was so proud the Irish Riviera here to be able to have animals and stuff. And so talking about animals, you can't go there in my memory because it brings up a whole bunch of crazy Irish stuff. But yeah, so watching my grandfather coming up with a bloody cleaver smiling while a chicken's headless body was running around is one of my earliest memories.
Holy God.
Thank you for sharing that all of a sudden. I thought it was a comedy show. Wait a second.
Yeah. But no, the animals were always dogs. So I would be something associated with a good loving dog.
Do you remember the name of the dogs?
Oh, there was bunches of them. Yeah, there were bunches of them. There really were. I was always growing up with dogs around. There really were. I know I'm not getting this. You're probably explaining it really clearly, but I'll get it afterwards. I don't always understand it, but I get it that all I got really was that you're now named after Antigone. That's the thing that's sticking in my head.
That's right, I was. And I think you and Scott, your collective quote-unquote stripper name is Dog Pack First.
There you go.
Okay?
I like that.
That's what I decided.
Dog Pack First.
That makes sense.
Stripper has multiple personalities with all the dogs.
I think that's right.
I think you're like a duo. Like, do they have stripper duos? Sure they do, right? Yeah.
Your
stripper team is Dog Pack First. That's a
I got to tell you. We have. I'm a fairly big guy, just to let you know, Jen. And my buddy's kind of a fairly big guy too. And so we were, like I said, I was the chairman of the Pride Center, and he was my secretary, I think. And so we're looking for fundraisers and thinking about fundraisers. And I said, why don't we have a stripper show, and me and Bob will be the Twin Towers of Power. And
that's
our stripper names.
Wouldn't that be great? And now you've got another stripper crew. You've got
exactly.
Twin Towers and you've got Dog Pack First.
I am loving that. We're just going to – now I want a tour. That's all there is to it. I want a tour. All right. We're just going to take a break for a second. That's a great transition point because we talked about the column and where Tiggy was born. Let's take a couple of seconds off. We're going to meet the infamous Miss Tiggy Upton, and she was at a Bilicious Boston event where she was one of the guests. I think she hosted it a couple of times, and she has a little advice for someone who asked for a little help. So let's go ahead and play that. You're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio with your hosts, Scott and Kevin, and we are listening and speaking to the fantastic Jennifer Bernardi. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Oh, hello. I'm Tiggy Upland, and I'm here to answer all of your questions about being a bisexual. I'd like to share with you this queer query from Lake Chargagagog Manchagagog Chalbunagungamog in Webster, Massachusetts. That's Indian for you. Fish on your side of the lake, I fish on my side of the lake, and the bisexuals will all have sex in the middle. Dear Tiggy, this is probably the most asked question, but how can I rebut people who don't believe that bisexuals exist? I tend to get into arguments about this. Is there anything more I can say besides, yes, we do? Dear reader, if advice columnists always say the same thing about these scenarios. Don't give a snappy comeback. Just rise above the rudeness. And they're right. That is what you should do. But a wild goose like you knows it's not about being right. It's about being a petty, catty wise ass. You could answer them with caution. Oh, well, maybe I'll come out fully gay when I'm more comfortable with it. I've been bi for 17 years, so I think in another 17 I might be ready. You could answer them with condescension. I know you don't, sweetie. It's okay. You can understand sex at your own pace. Only married men and women do it, and only to have babies. You just take your time. You can confess. All right, okay. You're right. Bisexuality is something that the Witness Protection Program made up. Thanks for blowing my cover, jackass. Now I have to move again. You can call out greed. People say that I'm selfish, but you're the one denying entire genders your smoldering hotness. Aren't you the selfish one here? Get existential. Did you ever think that bisexuals are the ones who are real and everyone else is lying? And that we're all part of someone's elaborate dream? What is the sound of one bisexual clapping? Just be sarcastic. Oh, you're probably right. Personally, I'm just a closeted gay, but I've been telling everyone I'm bi because they're so much more accepting of that. Be sure to tailor your response to your audience. For an ex-boyfriend, say, apparently you don't believe my clitoris existed either, but you'll pardon me if I don't take your word for it. For a straight homophobe, reply, you know, for someone who purports to be so hetero, you sure know a lot about queer life. And for a gay friend, just answer, we're as real as that girl you secretly fucked 6 years ago. You might want to flirt. 20 minutes alone with me, and I'll have you believing you're bisexual. Or you could reveal our contest. Excellent. I just need 3 more people to deny that bisexuals exist, and then I get an iPad. And finally, you can always answer the way the Bisexual Resource Center does. It's not a phase. It's my life.
And that is the fantastic Tiggy Upland in concert, in person. And we are here with the creator of Tiggy, the fantastic Jennifer Bernardi. Jennifer, that is just so much fun, I'm telling you.
It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
Well, I got to be honest. I had this fake clip from 2012, so I'm sure Tiggy's a little more updated and fashionable now.
That's what I think. I like to tell myself that I've improved greatly. I'm hoping.
Just wanted to say, for those that want to see all of this, there is really, talking about fashionable, and I know you're going to talk about other things, but all of this you can see on the Tiggy Upland website, right?
Yeah, actually. Whatever scenes that were taped from Bilicious of Tiggy is up on the TiggyUpland.com website. So Tiggy Upland was the MC of Bilicious, a bisexual-themed variety show produced by Susanna Layton. She was the MC for 4 years. And so some of the videos are kind of, like, Susanna hasn't released some of the videos for YouTube because they're more archival than anything else, but, like, that was the first one that Tiggy posted. So that's up on YouTube, and maybe one or two others are up there.
So is that how she came from being a columnist to an actual live character? Did Bilicious have something to do with that?
Absolutely. So she was just a pen name. She wasn't anything. She started the column in maybe March of, I want to say that was 2011. Susanna Layton is the producer of Bilicious, a bi-themed variety show. She had successfully run it in San Francisco for a few years and then moved to Boston and had already run it partnering with the BRC, the Bisexual Resource Center. So she had done it 1 year, but I was on the BRC board, but I just volunteered at it. I didn't do anything. So it was the next year, And already there were a few BRC people, plus Susanna, who were auditioning folks for Bilicious Boston, the second one that would happen in Boston. I don't usually tell this part, but I'll tell it now. What happened was they
Yay,
auditioned.
Yay, thank you.
They auditioned.
We love the full behind. This is Under the Pink Wig. This part's called Under the Pink Wig. Buckle up, everybody.
Under the Pink Wig. I don't tell people this part, because I don't mean for it to be mean, but the real story is somebody auditioned a gentleman who was a gay man, not bisexual. And Susanna has had both straight and gay people perform in Bilicious in addition to bisexuals. It's not about being bisexual. It's the content of your art that is bisexually themed. Okay. So yeah. A gay man auditioned as essentially this sort of like frumpy Miss Manners type. He was in drag. Okay. It was unfortunate that he didn't seem to know anything about bisexuality, which is okay, except if you're going to be offensive. The worst thing is that it wasn't like he was intentionally like he had sort of like an Eddie Murphy edge to him. He was just offensive because he was ignorant. So that didn't go well. Basically, the audition went badly. I didn't see this. I wasn't one of the people from the board who was doing the auditions. But I guess the three people who saw it, they were like, God, that was no good. And because I think he sort of played a Miss Manners type, one of the three was like, you know, we could get Jen to do an Ask Tiggy thing, and that would come off better than this did. And they said, really? Why don't we do it? So one of them calls me up and is like, oh, will you MC this? And I'm like, yeah. Why would you want me to do that? Like, Tiggy Upland is not a person. It's not a character. It's not anything. It's something I name myself. I'm like, y'all know it's me, right? Answering these questions for the rest of them. Like, I'm like, I haven't been. I used to do a lot of drama, no surprise, because I'm dramatic. I did a ton of drama in high school. I did a bunch in college. And then I haven't been on stage since. So I was like, I know you guys. Like, don't you want to get somebody, like, I don't know, talented or something? And they were like, no, we want you. So I said, that's fine, but you got to understand, Tiggy Upland isn't anything. And Susanna, the producer, said, let me help you create this character. And she gave me a list of 100 questions that an actor can ask of themselves about their character. And from that, we created this really rich history, I mean, detailed history of Tiggy's life and how she has become how she is. So, and I went on to MC, or Tiggy went on to MC Bilicious 4 years in a row. Sometime in there, I had a couple of other opportunities, like I was a co-headliner for the Dyke Mart of 2012, I think, or rather, Tiggy Upland was. I mean, it's been amazing. It's just,
that's brilliant.
It's not you.
Actually, now, I have two questions, but one is a comment. The first one is, I actually got to see Tiggy personally at a very different kind of gig. Where for our listeners, check out this website. I know you're going to talk about that. I want to leave time to talk about the webcomic. I really want to make sure we have time for that. But the thing I got to say is, I saw Tiggy live, Scott, at a very, very different event. And I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if you do remember when you're Tiggy, or if Tiggy takes over so much that you just have to surrender your memory cells. So that's another thing I want to know. But I saw Tiggy at it was a used book sale fundraiser when I was just starting myself as a board member, because again, for our listeners, they know this, I'm a current board member of the Bisexual Resource Center, and when I had just begun practically and was, I think, just all I remember was carrying around bookloads and bookloads, boxloads and boxloads of book boxes, and at the beginning, a very serious group of book collectors standing out front wanting to know when these doors were going to open while we were still trying to arrange things on all the tables. And then suddenly Tiggy Upland came into the room and kept everyone so entertained and buying books for the rest of the day that this book sale became somewhat of it was a constant comedy thing going on. And I don't know if you recall that day, but you were absolutely so wonderful as Tiggy on that. And that was, for me, that was the introduction, all the introduction to Tiggy I ever needed.
I can't believe you remember that day. That was so fun.
Well, you couldn't prepare for it. You couldn't prepare for that. All I can say is you couldn't possibly prepare for how wonderful. And it was also, Scott, it was one of these very early, I think it was a lovely, lovely day. So we had all kinds of people, not just people from the bi community and not just people from the rainbow community, coming in off of the street in Harvard Square to a really wonderful used book sale. And here was Tiggy to greet them. It was hilarious.
That sounds awesome.
There's no way to prepare for that.
It was a great example of the opportunities that Tiggy got, you know, once in a while, where it was like, hey, you know, we're doing the book sale. Do you want to come as Tiggy? I'm like, sure, yeah. I'll come and I'll mix and mingle. And I remember that I did have some jokes, some book-related jokes that I thought Tiggy would say. And some of them went over okay. Yes. I mean, it really is
fearless.
It's so fun. Yeah. And let me tell you, yeah, I did plays when I was in high school and when I was in college. I never, ever did improv. And yes, I took a couple of comedy classes in acting. I have never done improv, and I still don't think I'm good at it. Which is terrible.
No, you're wrong there. You're wrong. You're wrong, lady.
Because
I've seen you in action.
This, Scott, I don't know if you know this. One of the great things about Bilicious, when they do that, when they do the variety show, is at the end, they bring the performance back on, and then Tiggy brings a microphone out into the audience, and people can ask questions of the performers. It's really one of it's a very edifying aspect of that performance. But basically, like, that means that when I become Tiggy, I have to know a little, like, something about improv. I don't know anything. But as much as Kevin jokes, like, oh, you know, you become Tiggy and you, like, lose your memory from that or whatever, I say this with all sincerity. I get her clothes on and I get in that wig and I don't know who I am. Things come out of my mouth that I do not expect. And that does not happen when I'm me.
Well, let's
talk about a little history. You created this character now. Let's do some back history. You were basically 3 inches of bangs away from being Sia before there was a Sia. Where did the pink wig come from?
So, you know, I developed the character, and this was coming up to the first Bilicious, and I thought, well, I'll use this dress that I happen to have. It was you can see it in the video. It was a dress that I wanted to use while swing dancing, but I never did swing dancing. But I was like, oh, I'll just put this on. This is good. So it's black with tiny white polka dots, and it's got a little bit of pink underneath. So I figured, all right, I'll get this pink wig. And I had actually a couple other wigs. I'm like, I don't know which one I'll wear. I'm like, oh, I'll do pink as it goes with the end of the dress. Well, the first thing that happened was that I'm on stage, and it's the end where the performers come back on, and the audience asks them questions. And this guy, Eric, who is an incredible slam poet in the Boston area, he looked at Tiggy, and he said something like, I think I'm feeling a little pink sexual. Like, that's the thing that gets me. And he said it, he was looking at my Tiggy's hair, and I laughed, and then I thought, okay, well, this wig is it. Like, I, you know, before that, I was like, maybe I'll change out wigs every time, but it was like, no, this is the thing. And the funny thing is that pink has really become Tiggy's signature. There's just something about it that people gravitate towards. So
plus our community. What about the color? I mean, for those that don't know, the colors of our flag.
There you go, right? So that's sort of what happened with the hair. It was something that was decided. It was bestowed upon Tiggy during a Bilicious performance.
And now she has her signature teacup I see everywhere. Where did the teacup come from?
I think I started using that during Bilicious as just sort of a prop. I had a really pretty teacup and a saucer, and the teacup said Soylent Green on it. the literary among us will get that.
No crackers tonight. No crackers before bed. No crackers before bed. Go ahead.
God, I'm sorry. So, and I drink out of it, and people, I'd say to people, I'm a people person, and sort of drink out of my Soylent Green cup. When I spoke at the Dyke March, you know, when I was marching before I spoke, I marched with the teacup and the saucer, just sort of sipping and marching along, and it was my Soylent Green cup. So it's something that it's in my logo that I love so much. There's a teacup there, so it's just a prop that she has a lot. Also, that's part of her history. Her family, she has a family legacy of creating this thing called Upland's Magic Elixir. And it's a family business. They've always sold this Upland's Magic Elixir, and she drinks it every day. And so that's what she's drinking out of the cup. It's sort of
implied that it's hooch.
No one knows what's in it, but it's implied that it's not. Yeah, it's hooch. It's some kind of. Yeah, I mean, I can say that.
White lightning. My last question is, what is a wild deuce, and how do I become one?
Wow, that's a great. So, a wild deuce is really just the name for a bisexual, in the most loving, amazing, just the coolest way, right? That's
so
a wild.
So not going to become one now. I'm so sad all of a sudden, but okay.
I'm happy. I feel like I can say better than anyone. I've decided that you are one. So there. Not
there
bisexual,
you go.
But a wild deuce.
I could be honorarium. That'd be cool. Honorarium.
Yep.
You can be an honorary wild deuce.
Absolutely. You put up enough with me. So
no one has asked
me
for so long. There's a story of how that term came to be in Tiggy's history. She loved her grandmother when she grew up. Her grandmother has passed on, but they were best friends. And her grandmother just sort of knew that she, Tiggy, was bisexual. They never said it, but her grandmother knew. And there was there's some backstory on this. I might put it in the webcomic, but that, you know, the grandmother, they're listening to a song called Deuces Are Wild, and grandma's mother said, that's you. You're my wild deuce. And it's sort of an indication that she knew. The real story behind it, this is funny because this is another one that no one ever asked me, but the real story is that when I went to Tufts and I came out, I called my best friend from Danvers back home, and I came out to her, and it was, like, really hard for me. And she drove to my dorm. God, no one knows this. She drove to my dorm, and she had made me a T-shirt with, like, puffy pants. And I think she stole the T-shirt from her dad. Like, it was like a bucket operation. And she made a T-shirt for me that said, "The deuce is loose."
Nice.
That's now, brilliant.
I vaguely remember that was a commercial at the time, or some sort of commercial tagline. What I also remember is that she explained to me that she knew of some, you know, some gang in Brockton. She doesn't know a gang in Brockton. I don't know where she gets this stuff. She said she knew some gang in Brockton, and they had adopted the number 2, like there's some sort of Sesame Street episode. They adopted the number 2 as their, like, signature number, and they called each other deuces or something. In any case, she decided that that's what she made me a T-shirt to honor me and honor the fact that I came out as bisexual. And the T-shirt that she came out with. And that's where that came from.
I love that story. That is so cool. You heard it here, everybody. We have this column now. We have a fantastic column, over 5 years of column. And now you might be as bisexual, ... How did that come about?
So it came about because, by the way, for folks listening, You Might Be a Bisexual was a Tumblr blog that I did. Unfortunately, yep. I am an old, and as an old, I was really confused about Tumblr and didn't know how it worked. It took a long time for me to figure out. Basically, all you need to know about Tumblr is that they have a lot of animated GIFs, and that's what I love. I just like a picture that moves. I don't know what it is about it. So I decided, I'm like, yeah, I can do a blog on this. And I thought, wouldn't that be funny if I could, A, do a blog with animated GIFs, because that's my favorite, and B, do one that was kind of like, and again, I'm dating myself, that was kind of like Jeff Foxworthy's signature stand-up act. Y'all remember when Jeff Foxworthy used to do You Might Be a Redneck?
Right.
The younger set might know him from, you know, hosting, you know, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader or whatever. Jeff Foxworthy, when he first did stand-up, for years, he made it big with his You Might Be a Redneck shtick. And he would go up on stage and say things like, you know, if your home just got its wheels taken off, you might be a redneck, and, you know, stuff like that.
I thought,
wouldn't it be fun to do one like You Might Be a Bisexual? I wanted to do it because I felt like people, and not just, you know, lesbians, gays, straight people, but bisexuals themselves don't believe that we have a culture. They don't believe it. They don't think that we have experiences unique to us, you know, performers and artists and magnates and just people of all kinds who are bisexual and the leaders of our community. And they don't believe that we have, you know, certainly our things to complain about in terms of being bisexual, but also our things to celebrate. And it got to the point where I was like, oh, well, maybe we don't really have a culture. And I thought, my God, I can't believe I just thought that. And if I'm thinking it, a lot of other people are thinking it. So what I would do is a few times a week, I'd put something up there that would say, if blah, 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 then you might be a bisexual. That was the template. And then I put a related kind of funny animated GIF. And some of it is funny. Some of it's historical. Some of it is really touching. And some of it is something that you would only really, like, go through if you were bi. Like, one of my favorite ones is, if you ever had to come out to a date, you might be a bisexual. Tell me who else has to come out to their damn dates.
Yeah.
It's the worst. You know?
Right.
But it really became this incredibly fun thing that I got to do. And I think, you know, people were really, they just thought it was fun. They were really into it.
The thing that I like about it on here, I just want to say quickly, because I want to save time to talk about the webcomic, because that is fascinating to me. But in all of this, Tiggy has been an evolving project that I think has always been breaking down these barriers and getting people to have conversations and question and talk and, how should I say, use comedy. Here's a huge advertisement, because we got Margaret Cho coming on the show, ladies, so you're on a really cool show as well, saying all this stuff. But, I mean, use comedy in such a way that it breaks down stigma. You know, I mean, I think you were part of the Healing Stigma team long before there was Healing Stigma. So, I mean, I really like how you use what you do, because, you know, here's a great history, if you will, of a very artistic, I think, form of bi-activism in an original way, from columnist to performer to, you know, God, I don't know how you deal with all that stuff technically, because I have so much help, but I get it with Tumblr. And then, onto the webcomic. I mean, you're constantly, in a way, I guess it's not a question, but more, I'm thinking about it right now, you're constantly updating, and so is Tiggy. It's like a race. The two of you keep updating each other.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Are you in competition with her?
I don't know, man.
Or does she spur you on? That'll be the next show.
I like to encourage my fellow women, so I feel like she feels the same way. So
yeah,
you know, we haven't talked in a while, but I feel like we're on each other's teams. We got each other's back. That's how I like to feel.
Well,
about
listen,
it,
if you do, can I officially invite? I want to get Tiggy on the show. This is something we're going to say here. When you bump into her, Scott and I would love to get. What do you think about this, Scott? Should we try and get Tiggy on the show?
I would love to have Tiggy give us a couple of minutes of her time every month or so. I think that would be fantastic.
Ooh.
All
right, listen,
when
Tiggy's in a good mood, when Tiggy's got a big full cup, when Tiggy's got a big full cup of whatever that family hooch is all about, I want you to slip in that invite. Will you do that, Jen?
I absolutely will. I can tell you right now that she'd love it. Y'all need to know, though, I don't know how much, it sounds like you've seen some of her stuff. She's kind of a weirdo. I mean, I'm not trying to down talk or anything, but she's kind of a, you two are old like I am. If you remember Mork and Mindy, Mork was an alien, kind of a benevolent, wide-eyed alien. That's her.
Yeah,
out there.
Yep,
she gets a hold of the wrong end of the stick a lot, but you know, she means well, and she's a good person. And I can tell you right now, I'll ask her, but I know she's going to say she'd love to be on.
Maybe we'll keep her to 15 minutes or so once a month or so.
Yeah, I know.
I think that would be radio history in the making.
We're running towards the end of time here, and I hate to be the keeper of the clock, but that's one of my duties here. So before we finish, we want to be sure to give you at least 5 or 6 minutes to talk about this fantastic current project, which is a webcomic series of miniatures called Upland, of course, featuring Tiggy Upland. And I just got to know, were you obsessed with dioramas when you were in high school, or how did this all come about?
I was. I'll tell you how this came about. You'll notice that Tiggy emceeing something, Tiggy doing the advice column for 5 years, Tiggy doing You Might Be a Bisexual Tumblr blog for a year. They're all very solitary pursuits. There's stuff that you can just do alone. That's how I am. I'm a lone wolf. I don't know why I am. That's just how I am. I think part of it, certainly part of it, is that, you know, when I go out in the working world, I get my work clothes on and I go to work. You got to compromise when you're at work. You're getting paid to play nice with everybody, and I think I can do that really well. When I am taking, it's one of the only times where I get to call all the shots. I have my creativity and how I want to express what the bi community goes through, like good and bad, and it's mine, and so I've got kind of a control issue about it. So this is all solitary stuff. But I've got in my head, now this was a year ago, a little over a year ago, I got in my head this brewing, this idea of making a Tiggy Upland comic, but I can't draw, so in my head, I'm just going to buy a lot of tiny crap and just arrange it, right? But it's in my head, and it's been there for a long time, and I haven't told anyone. And the fact of the matter was, I can't do this myself. I could never have done this myself. So this is sort of an amazing project for me, because it's the first artistic project I've done where I need other people's help, and I got it, and I don't even know how to describe it. So
art creating community.
That was it. I had called up my friend Michael, who is also on the BRC board, and
great
I called
guy.
Him up and I said, let's go get tea. I want to hang out with you. I gotta run something by you. I don't know what possessed me to tell him. This was maybe March of last year. Okay, so we go to this coffee shop in Dallas. And you sit down, and this is totally Michael. He's so creative. He's so energetic. He does so many things. He's so psyched for life, right? So he sits down, and I said, you told me you had a problem. What's the problem? He's like, the problem is I want to do all these different things. He's a slam poet, and a very
yep.
well-known one. And he's
yep.
like, I
Excellent.
Want to get back into slam poetry, and I want to try this, but I also want to do this. I want to get involved in this movement, and I'm just sort of listening to him, which makes him suspicious because I always talk a lot. So he finally is like, he's like, I don't know which one to do. And he's like, you want to tell me something. He's like, tell me right now. And I'm like, listen, I got this idea, and it's stupid, but here it is. And I tell him, and he says, okay, forget everything I just said. I want to do this. I want to do the Tiggy Upland miniatures webcomic. And I couldn't
That's awesome.
To do with that energy. I've never had anybody say, I want to do this with you. This would never have happened if I didn't have a friend like Michael. And Michael's like,
wow,
oh,
that's
I know
nice.
I knew somebody else, bisexual, of course, because that's everyone we know. He's like, I know
yep.
somebody else, and she's real good at crafting things, and she's super creative, and let's get her involved. That, of course, is Gabby Blonder. I had never met her before.
Yep.
And my God, is she good at crafting things? She,
the detail.
Like,
oh, my God.
Oh my God. She explained five types of glue to me 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what? I don't know this stuff. Glue, five types of glue. So here's what happened. Michael, his energy ignited this force in me. This just wouldn't have happened. And he just seemed so excited about it. And he had his friend Gabby, and she was going to be involved too. So one night I sat down, and I bought, this is nuts, I bought $800 worth of dollhouse furniture.
Oh,
no,
my
no,
goodness.
How much this stuff cost. You know. No, dollhouse furniture costs round about what normal furniture costs.
Wait. So wait a second. So for our listeners, they can actually go see what $800 worth of dollhouse furniture looks like just by going to your website.
Kevin.
This is brilliant.
$800 was months ago, man. That was months ago.
Somebody has a problem.
People have to go see this. This is the detail that blows me away. I have trouble reading this stuff because I keep looking around at all the detail that's in there. There's more detail there than in the rooms that probably some of that is being made in, maybe. I don't know.
Kevin, do you know what kind of K-hole you fall into when you find the doll, what they will offer in dollhouse size on the internet? You don't know. Our team, who now also includes Kate Estrup, who is the president of the BRC, she has graphic design experience, and so she saw the very first episode of Upland, and she wrote to me, Michael, and Gabby, we're all friends, and she's like, I just want to tell you guys, I think this is the coolest thing what you're doing, and I'd love to be involved, and we were like, oh my God,
that's awesome.
Please help us. I said, Kate, I've been writing the little talk bubbles with MS Paint. Please help me. Her attitude was like, oh, will you do me a favor and let me in on this? And we're like, oh, my God, Kate, please help us. My God, we're doing you a favor. Holy crap, MS Paint. So it's
hey, listen,
an incredible thing.
I have to do this though for our listeners, because it was hard for me to honestly, when you described it to me, I couldn't picture it. Or you know what I'm saying? It was really hard for me to picture it. So here's the thing. Could we just back up for 1 second? I know we're almost out of time here, Scott, but I got to say this. Could you just tell what is a web comic? Because you got, what is it, almost 10 of these things now, literally different episodes, and they're coming out. They're really interesting. They're archived. But just so that our listeners, besides those that just want to see $800 and more of good, solid dollhouse-made furniture, besides that, what is a web comic about for those that don't know and want to see one?
So you think of a comic as a comic strip, something you'd see in the paper. We've all seen comic strips. A web comic is a comic strip online, easy enough. A web comic of miniatures means I can't draw, so I bought a bunch of tiny crap, and we make panels just like a comic strip. You've got different panels. Typically, we've got, you know, between 9 and 12 panels per episode. We've got different panels. And each one is a photograph of how we've arranged the dolls. The Upland itself it stars Piggy Upland, who works part-time as a writer and part-time as a concierge, as she says, in a hostel in Boston. Some of the other characters include her best friend Byron, who's also bi, Stella, who runs the hostel, and the different people who come into the hostel and also who hang out with Piggy and Byron. Oh, and also the hostel dogs, a beagle named Beans.
Yay, Beans.
Who Team Upland is obsessed with for some reason. So what you see is a story being told about Piggy and Byron and all their friends. And in that story, they'll tell you about all different parts of their lives, but there's a lot there about being bi. And it's not, you see a lot of stuff about, when it comes to being bi, you see a lot of stuff about coming out. But there's so many of us who are like, okay, you know, that's necessary to have that stuff, but what about the story after that? Like, I got a whole bunch of stuff I can talk about, you know, since my coming out. And you see that. You see the stuff that they contend with every day. Some good, some bad, some funny. You know, all of that stuff just told in stories. This comic strip is what's called long form, which means it's a story that runs from episode to episode.
Serialized.
Serialized. Thank you. You're right. Does that explain it a little bit better?
I think it's great. I really do. That's what I want people to get, because here's the thing. You've always known your genre. You've always done your homework before you've set Tiggy loose into the next project. And I just wanted to compliment you on that. You know, you read and know what a columnist does, and then Tiggy came from both sides, both your research and from inside of you. So this is just brilliant that it's coming from all these people, and as I just need our listeners to know, people who I also know and think are just great, and I didn't know this full story until now, so I'm so glad, even though we're, you know, neighbors here in Massachusetts, I am so glad that you came on the show, because now I'm more hooked than ever, and I hope our listeners will check it out, because I just think it's great how it brings up different topics that people go through in such a unique way. It's really creative. I never would have thought of it, and it's amazing. Really is.
Well, let me give you a little flash of it. So we've done the first 10 episodes, and we're on hiatus for these 2 weeks just because Gabby's in Japan, and also because we kind of need a minute to breathe, you know? So we've got these 10 episodes, and there are lots of little sub-themes running throughout the episodes. One of them is that in the beginning, it seems that Piggy's got some sort of secret she wants to tell Byron, and she kind of drops hints in various episodes where you're like, maybe she has an STI. I'm not totally sure. So she does divulge her secret to him, I think, in episode 7. And there's a lot of talk about stigma, the stigma around what she thinks she's going through. So we just had our 10th episode that we ran. This comes out on Friday, so we ran it last Friday. When we join them again for episode 11, we're going to be talking about the results of Piggy's secret. What happened on the other end of it? And Byron is going to mention that he's, you know, been listening to this healing stigma guy on this podcast called he's like, listen, you know, this thing you're talking about is 1% biology and 99% stigma. And then, you know, at the end, it's not, and don't think it's like heavy-handed, like, morality lessons or anything. But like once in a while, we'll put a link at the end. Like we referenced a group called Black and Pink, and we put a link there.
Brilliant.
So we're going to link to this show that Byron mentioned. So I want you and Kev. I gotta send you the script so you can just give it your approval.
Oh my! Hey Scott, we're going in the Matrix of Upland.
I'm telling you, this is so cool. You are my new best friend.
Wow.
This is what we talk about. This is what we talk about in real life. You know, we talk about.
Yeah, but no, it's
stuff.
Also it's brilliant how you're bringing it up because that's exactly one of those stigmas. So well done, and I'm amazed. Like I said, I can see it, and I think the team is doing a great job. You're doing a great job. I'm just so happy how Tiggy keeps being reinvented in ways that makes for me. Being a bisexual, something I'm so proud of, something that is not a stigma, something that has been such a great journey, but it also keeps creating these communities that use humor, art, and expression in so many wonderful ways. It makes it, you know, also a great topic for Healing Stigma Radio. So, yeah, I feel like, Scott, we got to get ready, man. We are going into Upland's world, and we're going
to
let Tiggy loose on our listeners.
I am so honored. It's sort of like a bisexual inception. I'm waiting for Leonardo DiCaprio to pop out at any second now. This is so cool.
Right? Well, let me leave you
with
this then. I know we have to wrap up, but let me leave you with this.
Yep.
I've had a few people ask me and the rest of Team Upland, what are you guys doing this for? Like, of course, one friend of mine, she's a good friend of mine. I don't know why she asked me this. She's like, oh, are you going to monetize it? I'm like, Julie, I am a nonprofit worker. I don't know how to make money. Like, I've shown no aptitude in that whatsoever. So I don't know why you think I'd be able to pull it off now. So, you know, people who keep asking, like, what are you doing this for? The journey is the reason. The product that we're making for us to just make this comic, the comic itself is the reason. And basically it boils down to for everybody and anybody who can look at, be it, you know, the advice column or the You Might Be a Bisexual Tumblr or especially the Upland webcomic, for anybody who can read it and say, that's me, I get that. You're telling my story. That's why we're doing it.
That is awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So cool.
That's really cool. But if they want to help defray the cost of dollhouse furniture, can they help?
Oh, you are so sweet. We did a really fantastic GoFundMe campaign, got such great support and hit our goal in like 4 days, which we could not believe. We've not set up a, I think it's called Patreon.
Uh-huh. It's
Patreon,
a great site.
Thank you. We haven't set that up yet because we don't think it's a good time to do it now. But if you want to support us, read the comic. Just read it and comment. There's a place where you can comment at the bottom of it. Just get into it. Get sucked into it, you know?
And the comments are fantastic. I was reading, I went through 6 episodes in the last 2 days. I just think it is fantastic. You go ahead and give everyone Tiggy's or yourselves social media where they can find you.
Absolutely. Well, the website itself is TiggyUpland.com. And on that, you'll find all of the archives for the advice column. You'll find links to the Tumblr blog, which has You Might Be a Bisexual. And, of course, you'll find every episode of Upland, and that's where we post Upland the webcomic every Friday. As I said, we're on a hiatus for a couple of weeks, but it tells you right there that we'll be back on April 22nd. Our Facebook is facebook.com/TiggyUpland, and our Twitter is twitter.com/TiggyUpland.
Fantastic. Well, we are so excited to have you on today.
We are serious.
We are going to have a Tiggy Upland Corner at least once a month on our Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. We would love to have Tiggy by, right, Kev?
I think it would be fantastic. And she wants our listeners, say then ahead of time, if they have questions, if they have thoughts, you know, and would she be willing to talk about things outside the bicep if it has to do with stigma?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I know this. Whenever I met Tiggy, she's never been short of opinions.
She's never been short of opinions. And she's also, as I said, she's an odd duck. So she's used to people kind of looking askance at her, and she's been able to navigate that throughout her life. So she's more than happy. She hangs out with a lot of stigmatized people, hobos. She knows a lot of hobos. You know, people aren't nice to them. More than happy to talk about this.
That is awesome. But what we're going to do, we're going to kind of use, we'll keep our inception going here, and we're going to announce ahead of time when Tig will be visiting us, and we are going to let people, we are going to bring back the Ask Tiggy forum, and we have a chat room here on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
People can come into the blog, to the chat room and ask some live questions of Tiggy, and you can also use our Twitter handle, which is Heal Stigma Radio, hashtag Heal Stigma Radio, Ask Tiggy, and we will go ahead and ask questions of Tiggy live on air when you come on.
Fabulous.
That's a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea.
Fabulous.
All right. Well, we actually have, like, no tape left. So, Kevin and I, on behalf of Kevin and I, we want to thank Jennifer Bernardi for being here. The fantastic Tiggy Upland. You have to check out the website. Check the comic web series. Check out everything, the Ask Tiggy. Everything you've seen here today. We're going to have Tiggy on very soon. And let's hear for the fantastic Jennifer Bernardi. Jennifer, thank you for being on today.
This has been a thrill. Thank you so much. I so appreciate this. This has been awesome.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye,
well,
guys.
Stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds, Jen. So hold on 1 second. We'll talk to you in just a moment, okay?
Okay.
Talk to you soon. And another great episode on a Thursday, huh?
My cheeks hurt.
Isn't that fun? We haven't
yeah.
had a laugh out loud show yet. This is, I mean, we've got some great guests and some fun things to talk about, but this is our first laugh out loud show. I love it.
Yeah, like I said, I also think it's great. We're thinking this month, you know, coming up later with Margaret's show, comedy can really break down some barriers and can really, you know, I didn't know that about this whole, the whole healing stigma thing coming up on that, or maybe I'd heard about it, but I didn't know that till tonight, all of that story and all, the whole team and how creative it is. And it's creating, you know, this community within the bisexual community that's oftentimes not seen as having a community. I think that's just so wonderful.
Oh, she's doing fantastic work. I'm so excited
yep.
we're able to have her on. We got some
yep.
great guests coming up. We were able to finally reschedule Ilio Cruz to come on next week, so we're looking forward to him and finding
oh,
out all about his new project. Then we have, oh, like you said, we have Margaret Cho. We have so many exciting people coming up. So
yep.
it's just been a fantastic journey so far. We hope you'll keep joining us. You can always check out all of our episodes and check find out more about our guests, too, because they each have profiles on our website at www.healingstigmaradio.com. And like I said, you can check out our Twitter handle at Heal Stigma Radio and tweet to us. Go ahead and send us questions, a comment section on the website. Kevin and I would love to hear from you. There's links to each of our sites. If you want to listen to my entertainment show, you definitely need to check out all of Kevin's things that he offers for actually healing, talking about a business. That's a business, healing stigma, and it's such an important work that you do, Kevin. I really want to thank you again for doing that.
It's my pleasure. The only thing I just want to tack on at the end there is, you know, radio isn't cheap, and what goes on here and the work that I know you put in, Scott, is tremendous, and it's a pleasure for me to do this as well. But to make it, you know, I would say a wonderful deal, check out the fact that right now there are, and I know this as well, in working with corporations and working with breaking down stigma, there are so many companies out there that are sometimes looking for something positive to get behind that they want their, you know, their name on as a sponsor. So there's also information there on the Healing Stigma Radio website that they can check out, because obviously now with this and what we're doing, it's a really positive enterprise, and I know people are looking out there something to get behind that they'd like to have, you know, the kind of listeners we have, they'd like to reach that group and that audience. So feel free to go on the website if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur looking to reach an audience like ours, go ahead and check it out, and please reach out anytime if you have any questions.
Exactly. And like Jen said, we're doing this for love. I mean, this is something that's very exciting. I think it's needed for both of us to do. You and I came together to do this project for a passion project. You actually have the business of actually healing stigma, where people can come to you for professional advice, which I love. I love having be able to offer Left to Straight Radio and all the things that we're offering there. And so support for any of that would be welcome always, but never a burden. But it'd be so nice to have people kind of join in, just kind of join the movement here.
Absolutely. It's really, it is a movement, and it's growing. And tonight's movement was really movement. I feel like I've done an exercise, because that laughter was wonderful, wasn't it? And, oh, by the way, I do know, I just want to let you know that I think a good friend of ours, Dr. Johnny Bowden, is going to be coming back on sometime as well. So that was another big thing that's coming up, and we'll have updates on all that, because all the programs that we've featured so far are just taking off. And I think it is for these types of creativity that are breaking down barriers. It's really wonderful to see them gaining gaining ground. So we will be checking back. And if you had an interest in a past show and are wondering what someone's up to, let us know as well, right into the show, and we'll give you an update.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate everyone checking in. Again, this is Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. I am your co-host, Scott Fullerton, along with the fantastic Kevin Hogan. You can check us out every Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, we want to thank our guest, Jennifer Bernardi, today. Tune in next Thursday where we will have the fantastic Ilio Cruz. We're going to finish tonight with a song of not a new artist, but she is an exciting artist that has released a new single just yesterday called What Love Is All About, which I just love. Her name is Carly Robin Green, and we're going to end the show today with Carly's fantastic song. Kevin, I'll see you next week.
Absolutely, my friend. Have a great one. Talk.
Imagine it's all